Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So a woman boarded a bus, and every seat was filled. And she was tired, carried several packages, and noticing her plight, a man stood up and graciously offered his seat. The woman was so shocked, she fainted. After this, after she revived, she looked up at the man who had given him his seat, and she said, "Thank you." And that's when he fainted. As Christians, we understand that because of sin, showing kindness and giving thanks is really not natural for us. The fact that our country sets aside a specific day for giving thanks says something about its origins. But even though Thanksgiving Day is a national holiday, which is probably why most churches don't have Thanksgiving services, it really is a religious holiday. That first Thanksgiving was a religious event as the pilgrims held a harvest feast to thank God for taking care of them and providing for their needs. Now, those pilgrims were very devout people. They were called Puritans because they believed that God was calling them to purify the Christian church of all worldly influences. And most of us know from our school history lessons how over half of the colonists died that first winter, but with the help of the Native Americans, they had an abundance of food to keep them through the second winter. And when they sat down for that first Thanksgiving meal, their thoughts were on God. Those first American colonists would probably be shocked at what's become of their feast of giving thanks. As a culture, Thanksgiving Day is a day of feasting and football. And as a national holiday, Thanksgiving is primarily seen as a day to celebrate the great wealth of our nation and an opportunity to celebrate how far we've come as a country. Our nation began as small groups of people who wished to live their lives in freedom. They weren't rich or powerful. In fact, the officials of England most likely didn't mind letting them come to the New World because if they died, it wouldn't have been seen as much of a loss. And many of them did die. But almost 400 years later, look how far we've come. Those tattered group of settlers who barely hung on from year to year have become the greatest country on earth, a country where people can freely speak their minds and worship it as they desire, at least for the most part. We're not perfect, but we have more opportunity for freedom than any other place in the world. But in all of this national celebration, we need to be careful that we don't lose sight of the original intent of Thanksgiving. It began as a way of celebrating what God had done. God had given the pilgrims an abundant harvest, and so they established that feast for giving thanks to God. Our gospel lesson from Luke is really so appropriate for a day of Thanksgiving. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. They're passing through Samaria from Galilee. Peter had already made his confession that Jesus was the Son of the living God. However, though the disciples knew intellectually that Jesus was the Messiah, they certainly didn't understand what that meant. They knew they were going to Jerusalem, but they really had no idea what really awaited them. He had warned them that he would be killed, but rise on the third day. But even Peter, the first to acknowledge him as the Messiah, couldn't fully accept it. Now, at this point, they were probably more concerned about their present location than their final destination. As they entered each village, they wanted to know if it was Samaritan or Galilean, because, as we know, Samaritans and Jews don't mix. The Jews considered the Samaritans intruders, people who had been allowed to remain in the land after most of the other Jews went to exile in Babylon. These people had intermarried with the outsiders who came in to fill the vacuum, to settle the now sparsely populated country. And though they had retained their Jewish religion, the Jews who returned from exile considered them just the opposite of themselves. Those who returned saw themselves as the chosen people of God, and the Samaritans were just as bad, if not worse, than the Gentiles. Because the disciples were concerned about limiting their contact with any Samaritans, they missed the significance of where they were. They knew the Messiah had come to save the children of Israel. What they didn't know was that Christ had come to save all the people of the world as well. So there they were, headed for Jerusalem and for the cross of Christ. On the one side were the children of Israel, the people of God who would reject their king. And on the other side were the lost nations of the world who would be offered salvation through what the King of Kings was about to do. So as Jesus and his disciples traveled this road to the cross, they came to this village. And when they approached, a group of people afflicted with leprosy called out to Jesus. Now, of course, we all know that lepers were required to stay away from towns, forbidden to enter in case people came into contact with their uncleanness. They were isolated from society, required to beg for food because they were cut off from normal life. As if their awful disease wasn't bad enough, they were also isolated from their family, their friends. In fact, their entire way of life. But there was something unique about this group of lepers. It included both Jews and Samaritans. What we read here is an affirmation of the statement, misery loves company. Samaritans and Jews would normally have nothing to do with one another. But this group of people were truly refugees with no homeland, excluded from both sides of the border. And so they huddled together, keeping one another company. Now somehow they must have heard that Jesus was passing through the area. His reputation as a healer had always preceded him. And obviously they hoped that Jesus would heal them as he had healed others. If he were able to do that, they could return to their families. They would have their lives back again. And so when they saw him, they raised their voices together and they cried out, Jesus, teacher, have mercy on us. Now in other instances, when Jesus healed lepers, he actually touched them and healed them on the spot. This group obviously didn't want to impose themselves on the good teacher by coming too close, and they probably expected him to heal them on the spot, just as he had done with the others, if he did anything at all. But instead, Jesus simply told them to go to the temple to be examined by the priests. I have to believe they probably wondered what Jesus was doing. They may have even wondered that Jesus was playing some sort of trick, maybe just to get them out of his way. What if they went all the way to the temple just to be told they were still unclean? How could they go on with life? But what other choice did they have? And so they left for Jerusalem. And what a surprise it must have been. What a surprise it must have been when it happened. There they were on their way to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they were healed. And I wonder if they kind of pinched themselves to see if it was a dream. At some point, they probably started running to Jerusalem so they could be declared clean by the priests and return to their families and their lives. But one turned around and ran back to Jesus. And as we heard, the one who turned around, the one who turned back was a Samaritan. And when Jesus saw this, he said, weren't 10 cleansed? But only one has returned. Where are the other 9? How come none of God's people want to return to give thanks? Now that would very soon play itself out at the cross when his own people would reject what he had come to give them and would petition the Romans to crucify him. But this one Samaritan, previously leper, had thanks to give. And we certainly have many reasons to give thanks. If we were to count all of our blessings, we'd probably surprise ourselves. As Americans, we enjoy freedoms people in the other parts of the world can only dream of. And there's an abundance of harvest. We live in a world and in a nation where enough food is grown that none should go hungry. But we have something else, something even more, so much more to be thankful for. Like the Samaritans, we too were once separated from God by our sin. Like the lepers, we were unclean. But one day, as Jesus was on his way to die on the cross, he stopped at a village on the border between God's people and those outside, and he healed some lepers. But amazingly enough, only one of the 10 who were cleansed came back to give thanks, and that one was an outsider, not one who had been brought up worshiping God. It just is really a prelude to what would happen on another day. As Jesus stood on the border which separated us from him. But in mercy, Jesus healed us of our uncleanness by giving his life in place of ours, making us, who were once not a people, now the people of God. And through the forgiveness of our sins by his death and resurrection, we have become recipients of the fullness of his grace. But here's the real picture of grace. All 10 of those lepers were healed, but only one returned. And a fitting end of the story would have been the statement, and when the 9 showed themselves to the priest, their leprosies had returned because they had not given thanks. But that's not the way of God's grace. God pours out his mercy and grace upon one and all, upon the thankful and the unthankful, upon the just and the wicked. But what a blessing. What a blessing for those who can return and give thanks. Not only do they receive what must be the tangible blessings, but they receive the blessing of being able to acknowledge the grace giver and to live a life bathed in his undeserved love. And that changes everything. Too often we fail to give credit where credit is due. The truth is, we really create nothing. We're not creators of our wealth. If we have the ability to produce wealth, it's because we have been granted the gift of a healthy mind, body, a land where we can work and receive the fruits of our labor. We didn't earn any of that. It's all gift. It's all grace. And we certainly aren't the authors of our salvation. Without the grace of God, every one of us would remain outside, cut off, foreigners of heaven with no birthright or inheritance. But because of Christ, we have the assurance of an eternal home in heaven, as well as the confidence that we live in the presence of God each and every day of our lives. As we gather around the dining room tables tomorrow, as we look at the fine china, the silver, as we begin to cut into that large bird in the middle of the table, or as we do in the kitchen and then bring it out because it's such a mess on the table. But as we do that and we dig into those casseroles and the side dishes that cover that Thanksgiving board, be sure to remember that this has all been brought to us by a God of grace. and give thanks. Give thanks to God that He has called us to remember and to return and to be blessed by the ability to give Him thanks. Amen.